Hebrew Bible has been set for a very, very long time. That's not something that would be inspired in and of itself, but that shows that they recognized what books were part of the Scriptures. The New Testament books recognize what the Scriptures were, quoting them. And then we talked about there's not really any references made in the Scriptures to the Apocrypha books. And so that's how we ended our lesson, was talking about some of these things. But another important truth is knowing that we have the revelation of God, God's will, His words, because they were written down. And even the fact that, as we're going to see in this study, that many of the authors wrote about God speaking to them, or we have examples where God told them they're going to be speaking on His behalf. And so we're going to look at some of those. But a lot of people, when you think about the word inspiration, they don't really know what biblical inspiration is. And I think that's because when we think about inspiration, or we think about it, being inspired, we have, and you'll see this in the definitions. This is from, I have on my desktop, as I've mentioned, it's Farlex has what's called the free dictionary. And so I downloaded the app through Microsoft, and so I have a little app I can click on, and it comes up, and I can put a word, and it gives me a dictionary. So this is coming out of that source. And so number one, when you look at, well, what does the definition mean? Most people think about inspiration or being inspired, they think along this lines: the excitement of the mind or emotions to a high level of feeling or activity. And then it gives you an example: a singer who found her inspiration in the popular song of the 1920s. And so they had inspiration or were inspired by the music. It pushed them on to higher levels of feelings. Then underneath 1A, then is 1B, the condition of being so excited that you sat down to write in a sudden burst of inspiration. That's what we think of. The author had inspiration and said to run off and write down. You'd say, oh, I was inspired in the middle of the night when I preached a great sermon, and then by the morning I forgot it. Because that's happened over the years. And so as I've told you, I've tried to think, listen, just remember this. That was a great point in your head when you kind of having those clear thoughts. It's like, just remember that, so when you fall asleep, you can remember. It'll jog back some of the things that you were thinking. Well, is that inspiration? Well, that's how people look at that. And then they're under C, the quality of being so excited as manifested in something, a painting full of inspiration. And so that's kind of how a lot of people think about it. And then you go on to definition number two: a person or thing that moves the intellect or emotions or prompts actions or invention. Gandhi has been an inspiration to political reformers for decades, to use how people use that. Or then you go to three: something such as a sudden creative act or idea that is inspired, had an inspiration and saw a way to solve the problem. I told you not long ago, a lot of times, sometimes in the middle of the night, maybe something comes to mind that I'm thinking about as I've kind of been awakened, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, that'd be the way to solve that problem. That's kind of what that's talking about. We say, well, you know, he had a burst of inspiration along that same lines. That's the way a lot of people think about inspiration. But then, this is interesting, when you get to definition number four, now you start finding, okay, we're going to talk about another form of inspiration: divine guidance or influence exerted directly on a human mind or soul. So it took, my point there is, it took four tries plus the ABC to actually finally get down to, oh, then there's this kind of inspiration. And so a lot of people, I think, probably really don't have a good handle on what it means to have biblical inspiration. And so finally you arrive there at the definition, and that's the most important type of inspiration. Go over to our scripture reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 16, it's where the word is used. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? What does inspiration of God mean? Well, that's very important to us. It's very important that we understand that particular subject, because we need to sometimes convey to our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and sometimes even family, that this is inspired by God. What does that mean? And in other words, I believe that this is the mind of God by inspiration. And somebody says, well, I believe it. I don't believe that. So you need to be able to sometimes speak about a matter like this. So this is the Greek word. So this will give you an idea. It's this part right here. And then in my programs, this tells you, well, here's how you pronounce it. So I would say theopneustos, if I were trying to do that. This right here, I've pointed out, says you make an emphasis of theopneu. So it says that gets the greater emphasis of how you say that. So that's how you hear me try to butcher words sometimes, is because I have that there. So that's the Greek word. It's found this one time in the scriptures. Can't take you to another place where that particular Greek word was used. But here's how Thayer, again being a Greek dictionary, if you would, very respected scholar, been used for many, many years. He says, inspired by God. Well, that doesn't help a lot when you use the word inspired to define inspiration. That kind of makes it muddy. And sometimes I find myself, well, I can't define the word by using the word because now we don't know. So, but then he goes on to say the contents of the scriptures. Well, that's important, isn't it? The contents of the scriptures are inspired. Well, that doesn't give us a whole lot of idea of what inspiration is. Strong says divinely breathed in. Now you're getting into really what we're talking about, given by inspiration of God. Divinely breathed in. And so when you look at it from that, it is God breathing into a person. That's kind of the picture. All Scripture is God's breath of revelation, inspiration, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So God has breathed, and that'll be developed more as you look at some of the passages. In the King James Version, if you were to type in inspired besides inspiration, also Job 32 and verse 8, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The Hebrew word there is defined as the breath of God. So the King James Version also includes Job 32 and in verse 8. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And that Hebrew word, again, as defined by Briggs, Driver, and something, they refer BDB. Again, that would be a dictionary of Hebrew words, says breath of God. Which is the way we should think of inspiration when we think about Bible inspiration. So let me show you, because some of you have already looked at your English Standard Version, and here's how it translates 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I would say this is an excellent way to translate it. Look what it says. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So you see how that says, so this is God breathed out. Scripture is breathed out by God. So, as we talked about last week when we talked about how do we know the Old Testament scriptures are the right books, and we talked a lot about Scripture. Scripture is holy writings. And so, these are holy writings which God has breathed. See, all Scripture, holy writings, meaning coming from God, that He has breathed out. You see that picture? And so that is the picture. That is the idea of what is conveyed in the word inspiration. So the scriptures, again, were delivered to men who wrote it down, and they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some passages. But let's just back up. So what does that make the Bible? What that makes is not only the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it makes our Bible one story, because it is. It's one story. It's 39 books and 27 books for a total of 66 books that you hold here, but it's all one story. And who is the author? See, the one author is God. And he used about 40 different men over the space of a lot of time. But understand that the author is God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So what this tells us is this is the work of God. And when I say God, I mean it's the work of the Father, it's the work of the Son, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And what God breathes out, because we know who God is it going to be accurate? It's going to be accurate. That's why we were talking about in our class, and I said, you know, the one who discovered the paths of the sea, he went out and looked at them, looked for them, because the Bible said. And you think about the first person that this whole idea is the earth flat or is it a circle? And they go, well, the Bible says it's a circle. And they just said, so it must be a circle. Before you could ever go out into space and look, because the Bible already identified it as being a circle. So no matter who the man was that God chose to reveal his word and have it written down. Now listen how important this is. Every word in the original book or letter, in other words, every word that Moses wrote down, every word that David wrote down, every word that Solomon wrote down, were the very words God chose in the original. See, we make translations, but the original autograph, the very original paper, let's just take the book of Ephesians. Paul had that letter, and it was written down. Every word is the word that God himself chose to use. And the amazing thing about that is how God could use different people with different backgrounds, different vocabulary words, and use that person and still get all kinds of styles, all kinds of unique personalities, but that's God. But every word was chosen by God, because what he did is he breathed into these men. So whether the Hebrew word back in the Old Testament, or it's a part of Scripture that was originally written, first put down in Aramaic, or whether it be in Greek, the New Testament, every word was chosen by God, including the one that we pointed out. That was God using that word to tell us about inspiration. And he used all these different men. So great care, if you look at it that way, wouldn't you want to make and have great care in how you translate a Bible word into a different language? So it is disheartening. I had a couple of young ladies come to the door from the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I invited them in, and they refused, and I basically said, I'd love to study with you. Can you come back? And let's answer the question of what do you do to be saved? And told them, I'm familiar with your doctrine. You're wanting to talk to me about, do I think there can be happiness? And you're going to tell me yes, because the earth is going to be rejuvenated and those types of things. And I tried to get them to understand, you have your own translation. I'm encouraging you to think for yourself, because their translation is going to reflect it in passages to teach what they want to teach. Well, you don't want that, do you? You don't want that at all. And so we're familiar with passages that teach us how we got the Scriptures, how we got these holy writings, and how they're from God. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it tells us a couple of things, because the first thing it says, he said, well, God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He used to speak directly to them. He used to talk to them in visions. He used to talk to them in a dream. And so God spoke in various ways, and he did that to the fathers. That would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It would be, that's how he communicated. Or he spoke to his messengers, his prophets, his spokesperson, somebody like Jeremiah or Isaiah. But then, so God spoke via the fathers and the prophets. And we'll look at some of the claims that the prophets made in just a moment. as to where they were getting their message. But now the Father speaks to us today, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. So God used to speak that way, but how does He speak to us today? He speaks to us through His Son. That's clearly seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. Peter says, let's make a tabernacle for all three. And God thundered from heaven and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. Don't listen to Elijah and don't listen to Moses. Listen to My Son. I do not speak this way. And so that unfolds in the New Testament. The gospel is it now becomes the gospel of Christ, the New Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and in verse 18, this is Moses. And just put this in the back of your mind, because this will make one of our points in just a moment. How does Moses know these things? How does Moses know to talk about the prophet who's coming? So he says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, God says to Moses, from among their brethren. What is Moses doing? Well, we have it written down. And will put My words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear My words, which he speaks in My name, I will require it of him. So what happens if you ignore Jesus today, the prophet? Well, that's where when we come over to John chapter 7, look at what is said in John chapter 7 in verse 16 and 17. This is John's gospel. So in our thinking, we're thinking, well, this is a man, John the apostle, whom God chose, Jesus chose him, God chose to breathe through him, and we have it written down. Now, we haven't really got to that, but this is inspired as we're working our way through. Look at verse 16 and 17. Jesus answered and said, answered them and said, My doctrine is not Mine, but His who sent Me. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of My own authority. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, well, what I'm telling you is coming from the Father. Father says I'm going to speak through My Son. Son now confirms I'm getting the message from the Father. Well, then where does it go? And we won't have to spend a lot of time on this because we understand this. The Holy Spirit, in verse 12 through 15 of John chapter 16, there's some powerful points here that are made. Verse 12, John 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Basically, you've got the Father gave it to Me, I'm giving it to the Holy Spirit. Don't be confused about that. Whatever I have is what the Father gave Me. So you have the Father, the Son, to the Holy Spirit. And that should be, the next line down should be, what did these men do? Well, they were told they would, whatever the Holy Spirit hears, He will speak. He will take what is Mine, declare it to you. He will guide you. That's the apostles into all truth. He will tell you things to come. Now, in John chapter 20 there, if you'll just flip ahead a little bit more, here's the apostle John again writing. And he says in verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. What did they do? They wrote it down. They wrote it down. He said, I have written these things down so you can have assurance and believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so you have Ephesians chapter 3. So you have men like the Apostle Paul, who was an apostle born out of due time, which we've studied in the book of Acts. And here's what he says as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, beginning in verse 1. He says, chapter 3, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made to me known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." So, thinking now back to our point of inspiration, the Holy Spirit, God's words, God breathing, again, the Holy Spirit being God, breathing into these men. And Paul says, writing things down that you may know the mystery that wasn't known but is now being revealed. What is being revealed? Exactly what God is breathing into them. So, you're familiar with this illustration. And it makes it so perfectly. God gave his word to his son. The son said, the Holy Spirit's going to take what is mine, which came from the Father. The Holy Spirit, by inspiration, gave the exact words that he was given to the holy men of God. And what did they do? They wrote it down. Scripture. All Scripture is given by God breathing out the very things that he wants to say. Now, let me see if I can't tie this to a quick point that we made this morning in our lesson. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That was one of the things that we talked about that there in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, let me ask you a question. How does a man know what to say about a future event in time that another man, Jesus, the Son of Man, would fulfill at a future time hundreds of years later? How does anybody know that? Well, that's prophecy. How could anybody possibly know something like that and be accurate, that there would be a Jesus, the Son of Man, would fulfill those passages? Well, the answer is inspiration, which I'm sure you've already thought about this passage, because what it does is what we're doing now is we're tying this together, because in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll remind you as you're turning that this is Peter saying, I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm telling you, I saw what I saw. But he said, I want to tell you, we've got something more powerful than that. It's the fulfilled prophecy. So here's what he says. He says there in verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Scripture is prophetic. It shines a light. And when it's fulfilled, it rises. What does that do? Well, it gives you what, it shows you what God said is true. It confirms the words. But notice what he says. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy, not a single one of them, of Scripture, of holy writing, is of any private interpretation." I am very careful when I preach to say, this is Stacy's. This is how I look at it. And that, even this morning in class, I was saying, I don't want to speculate, but you have to wonder, what am I saying? It's not written here. So we're going to walk very carefully of what we can know and what we can't know. And some things, you know, you would think, well, it's got to be logical. And it's like, yeah. And somebody else might say, well, what about this? And you think, well, you know, it could have gone that way too. So we have to be careful. But no scripture is of any private interpretation. Nobody got in the middle of this. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." What do you think this moving by the Holy Spirit is? It's that action, though the word is not used, that's our idea of inspiration. They are being breathed into. That's how you can know what's going to happen hundreds, thousand years later, because God is breathing into them his words, his things, the things that he knows and can foretell. Man cannot do that. And that is a powerful truth that Peter is conveying here, that these men were moved by the Holy Spirit. It did not come from man. It came from God. It came from God as men were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible is an amazing book. It is like no other. There's nothing like it because it comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are the author. So in one sense, we could say, well, who wrote the book of Ephesians? We'd say, well, Paul did. But we always need to understand God did through the Apostle Paul. Inspiration. Now, in the remaining time, we'll very quickly look at, here's claims of inspiration. Look with me. Take out your Bible. We'll flip pretty quick through some of these. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're looking at verse 4 through 9. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah is saying, that's what God said to me. I tried to say I'm a youth. He said, don't be afraid. And what did he do? He said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. So the things that Jeremiah said were what God had put in his mouth. Chapter 30. Flip a little later, chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, there's so many passages, this came from the Lord. Thus speaks the Lord of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Jeremiah, write it down. Write it down. What type of book would that be? What kind of book would that be? That'd be an inspired book, wouldn't it? That'd be a book God breathed into this man and he wrote it down. Very clear picture. How about Isaiah chapter 1? Look at what God said to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, 1 and 2. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The Lord has spoken. You know how many times Isaiah has? 10 times. For the Lord has spoken. For the Lord has spoken. For the Lord has spoken. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. So what is he doing? I'm giving you the words of God. God is putting them in my mouth. He's delivering them to me, and I'm giving them to you. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8. Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. Now, that can be a very specific section, but what was he told to do? Write it down. Jesus recognized inspiration in Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. Think about what Jesus is doing. He's confirming what we're talking about. In chapter 16, verse 31, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. If they won't listen to what Moses and the prophets said, why is that important? God breathed into them. What they have came from God. And if they won't believe what came from God, think about the Pharisees. Did they accept Jesus or reject him? The majority of them rejected Jesus. They did not believe what he said. Now, did they believe when they said Jesus has come forth from the grave? They didn't believe that either, did they? So Jesus was exactly right. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Again, Jesus recognized inspiration. Verse 45, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me." How could Moses write about Jesus? How could he do that? Inspiration. Inspiration. Moses had received the words of God. We already looked at Deuteronomy 18, 18, and 19. Moses said, a prophet is coming, and Jesus is that prophet. Look at Peter's point in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, about David. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 16, "Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." Peter quotes scripture, but notice what he said. He understood, where did David get this? How could David say something like that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David, which is what Peter had said in his epistle. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God, David being one of them. And so Peter connects all this to a fulfillment of Scripture. David, according to Peter, the Holy Spirit spoke these things by the mouth of David. That's inspiration. How about the Apostle Paul? In Acts chapter 28, in our last chapter, we haven't got to this part yet in the text, so we may be able to revisit this a little bit. Look at verse 25. "So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." The Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah the prophet, whom Paul is now quoting. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This passage came to mind as far as inspiration. We read it around the table because this is why we do what we do. But notice how we usually start in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Where did he get the teaching from? God. The exact way God wanted it. The Holy Spirit. God the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Paul. And so you see Paul's claim of inspiration by a passage like this. Back up to chapter 7 and in verse 10. Notice what he says. "Now to the married I command you, not I, but the Lord, if a wife is not to depart from her husband." Who did he say is commanding? The Lord is commanding, is making that command. He clearly claims the Lord's breath is what he received. And that is exactly what he is delivering to them. So he, by inspiration, he delivered what the Lord commanded. One other passage in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. To the church at Thessalonica, he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." You received our words from God. And that's what the scriptures are. God breathing into them, and then they write those words down the way God wanted it, exactly as he wanted it. The Bible is what God has breathed to men. It's from the breath of God. And because of that, it is the truth. And what you say in your prayer at the start, it's from our Creator. It's words from our Creator, whom the Scriptures reveal loved man. It's obvious He loved us because He made us different than all the animals. We're made in His image. And He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, the perfect sacrifice, to save every one of us from sin. He delivered that message. And that's what the Bible is, a message of God's love and how He solved the problem of disobeying Him. And it cost Him dearly, and it cost Jesus His very life. It cost Him His place in heaven as He humbled Himself and came down to earth, but now He resides at the right hand of God, awaiting for His Father to say, go. Go and get your people. And we're going to deal with all the people that have rebelled and have refused to listen to my words. It's a terrifying thought. So tonight, you may be here and you need to confess sin, make things right before it's everlastingly too late. Maybe you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and come to Jesus to have your sins forgiven. We stand ready to help anyone as we all stand and sing.